inshallah. So brothers are requested to come close, inshallah. Sit as close as possible. Fill in the gaps. And please make sure you do not cross the musallis. As I was mentioning, those who have any questions, please ask after the bayan has finished. Mufti Sahib will give us time for him to answer our questions.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أيام معدودات وقال الله تعالى وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة Today's dars or lesson will be on fiqh regarding the month of Ramadan. These three main parts which I would like to talk about. Number one, the fast itself. Number two, zakat. And number three, salatul taraweeh. Maybe a few points here and there. Other rules will come in as well. But these three are the main subject of today's talk, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. It's a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that inshallah we shall get the month of Ramadan. Don't waste your time. Mobiles, very limited. WhatsApp, very limited. Cut down on your work if you can. Less hours. More time with the Holy Quran. Nawafil, tasbihat, durood sharif, istighfar, duas, very important. We say this again and again, that we don't know, you might not get next Ramadan. Value it. Less eating, less drinking, at suhoor and iftar. Eating away in masjid and then home eating again and after Tarawih eating again and Saturday eating and eating. This is not what the month of Ramadan is for. We have 11 months to enjoy our meals as much as you want. You spend 1 hour, 45 minutes only, 50 minutes, half an hour eating and drinking. When you're going to make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran is Kareem, when are you going to recite that? Suhoor time is for tahajjud, nawafil, Blessed is of the Holy Quran. Istighfar. Bin Ashari um yastaghfirun. At the time of Suhoor, you should be making istighfar. The du'as are accepted. And you're eating away and talking away. On your WhatsApp and you're messaging your friends. Or YouTube is on and you're watching the films. This is not the month of Ramadan. You are lost. The month of Ramadan is not for eating, sleeping and chilling out. Sleeping more than any. After Fajr Namaz, sleeping at the Salat al-Dhuhr. What is this? Is this life? Not life. We all get tired. Fajr, for example, is finished at 5 o'clock and he's waking up at 2 o'clock. And then after Zuhr again, having a bit of rest of the Quran and then going to sleep again to Asr. This is not a Muslim life. You should be awake. You make yourself keep awake. Make wudu. Go outside, have some fresh air. Put some cold water on your face. 11 months to sleep and rest and eat. Only 1 month Allah is asking for. Only 1 month. Like we tell our own children. Look, you're playing on your Xbox, on your game for 3 hours, okay? I'm only asking you half an hour that you pay Quran Sharif. And if then the son doesn't listen, the daughter doesn't listen, we feel upset, we feel hurt. Because it's 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, he's been playing on his games. It's 2 o'clock, 4 hours, 5 hours. I'm still going to play after lunch again, 3, 4. Okay, give it a break, give it a rest. Just half an hour of Quran Sharif. Stop 10 minutes, pay your Zuhur, pay your Asr. And still doesn't do that? As parents, we know, we feel very hurt and upset. How do you think Allah Ta'ala feels? I give him the Ummah, 11 months to eat, drink, sleep, rest, chill out. Only asking for 1 month for worshipping me, and here, they're still not doing that. Some people even say that I put weight on in the month of Ramadan. After Ramadan, sleeping 7 hours, 8 hours. In Ramadan, sleeping 10, 12 hours. Instead of achieving the reward and hereafter, we are losing out. Especially last 10 nights. Very, very important. Laylatul Qadr is there. Laylatul Qadr has come and is gone and is sleeping. You'll get something because you prayed Isha, Salah al-Tarawih, you prayed further Salah, you'll get something. You prayed Maghrib, you'll get something. But not as that person who stayed most of the night awake, if not all of it. So in the month of Ramadan, let's talk about the fasting first. The common mistakes that people make. If you don't wake up for suhoor, nobody woke up in the house, you didn't hear the alarm, you still have to fast. You can't say, well, I didn't have suhoor, I didn't eat sahri. I can't fast. That's not acceptable. You have to make intention. After you made the intention, and during the day, now you can't take it. It's difficult. Then you can break that fast. There's only qaza, no kafara, 60 days. But you have to make the intention of fasting. Not to fast because you missed suhoor is a sign that your iman is very weak and you are sinful. Oh, I've got exams. Doesn't matter. I've got a job to go. Doesn't matter. You have to fast. Exams and job and work is not acceptable. Generally, people say, if you travel, you don't need to fast. That is totally incorrect. The common masala people say, If you're traveling 48 miles or more, you don't need to fast. That is not acceptable. Correct. If you're in Lancaster, here, at the time of Suhoor, Suhoor ends at 5 o'clock, for example. And you're going to travel to London, to Heathrow Airport, to go to India, Pakistan, or Umrah. And you're going to leave at, say, 8 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, you have to fast. فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهَرَ فَلْيَسُمْ Because you are at home, you have to fast. But I'm going for Umrah. I'm traveling to Heathrow Airport. I'm going to a funeral in London. What are you leaving? We're leaving at 9 o'clock. Sailing is at 5 o'clock. You have to fast. You can't say, I'll wake up at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock and have a nice breakfast. Not allowed. Haram. But I've always heard that it's traveling. Person doesn't have to fast. No. Because he's in the is bound to his hometown, Lancaster, he has to fast. If he leaves before Suhoor, so he leaves for Heathrow Airport or for the Janaza in London or Birmingham at 4 o'clock, 4:30, then he doesn't need to fast. He's out of the bound of his hometown. Now if he's fasting and then he can't take it, he can break that fast. If you're only leaving before Sahriyan, then you don't need to fast. Like Juma, for example. Juma time starts at 12:15. But the namaz in the masjid is at 1 o'clock. You're going to Heathrow Airport, as an example. You can't leave. If you're at 12:15 at home, you have to pray Juma. Whether you pray in Lancaster or you pray in Birmingham, but you have to pray. Or Bolton, Preston, you have to pray that Juma namaz. You don't have to stay in Lancaster, but you have to pray Juma namaz. You can't say, I'm a traveler. Because the farziyat of Juma had become on you when you're still in Lancaster at home. 12:30, time has started. Even though namaz at 1 o'clock, you have to be Juma now. You will be sinful if you miss Juma and you pray Zuhar. In fact, Mufti Rashid Sahib Ludhiani Rahmatullah says, and some other scholars say, they go a bit further, that if you are at home at the time of Suhoor, the scholars all agree that you have to fast. And then some scholars say that after you're traveling, you're at Birmingham, London, at the airport, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and you're tired, you need water, you need food. Some scholars say you can break that fast. Only qaza, no kafara. But Mufti Rashid Sahib Ludhiani says that if you can't keep that fast, which was compulsory upon you because you are at home in Lancaster, then that traveling is haram. You cannot travel. You're not allowed to travel because you're missing a roza out, which is farz. You have to fast. Umrah is not farz. To go to India is not compulsory. To go to the funeral in London is not necessary. You have to fast. And you make iftar where the sun sets. Say you're on the plane, going for Umrah. You look out of the window, and wherever the sun sets, you make Bismillah iftar. If you're going towards Canada and America, then they are behind us. They'll fast probably longer. Maybe by 5 hours, 6 hours, we have to fast. You can even suhoor here. You make iftar again where the sun sets. If the sun is not setting, the more you're going towards America, it's still there. Then Mufti Rashid al-Ludhiani Rahmatullah said that just before 24 hours, you make iftar. Just before 24 hours finishes. So you can't miss Ramadan fast for small reasons. I met this person in the Masjid Salat al-Dhuhr many years ago. He's still alive. I'm talking about 27 to 30 years ago. He's still alive. He's not dead. In the wudu khana, he took his asthma pump out and he used it. I said, you can't use this asthma pump. It breaks the fast. He said, I have dumb bimari. Make a, why? Take it when I come walking. Make it, why? Even if I come by car, walk to my, I get this. Make it, they come find my tomb. Make it namaz in the masjid, fajr, zuhr, asr. You can pray at home. Masjid namaz is sunnah the muakkada. Fasting is farz. You say you're fine at home. Why are you coming for namaz? Fast and pray your namaz at home. Come for maghrib after you make iftar at home. So he's more concerned about the namaz in the masjid congregation, which is sunnat, and he doesn't care less about the farz, which is compulsory upon him. This is not permissible. If you know that if you work extra, you will not be able to fast, then it's not permissible to take that extra time working. As for the pump, there's two opinions. The Arab scholars and the ulama of India, Pakistan, subcontinent. The Arab scholars say the asthma pump you can use because the medicine goes into the lungs. It doesn't go into the stomach, so the fast doesn't break. That's the opinion of the Saudi scholars and the Arab scholars. Our scholars from the subcontinent, India, Pakistan especially, they say that it's correct that the pump is used for the lungs. Clean the lungs out so you can breathe easily. But small particles are there and the chances that some of them are going to throw into your stomach. So as a precaution, they say that fast will break, you make qaza. Because you don't know, very small, tiny particles in the throat, supposed to go in the lung, but here and there, some go down to your stomach. Fast is broken. Some people, they have this heart problem, and they have this angina problem. So they're giving a small tablet. So they ask that if you put a medicine, the tablet here underneath the lip, and it stays there. Before say at the end, for example, 5 o'clock, they put it here. And it stays there throughout the day. The fatwa is given that the fast will not count because that is done on purpose. If a chicken meat piece has been stuck on the teeth, or some peanut is stuck on the teeth, or some sweet is stuck on the teeth, that's not on purpose. You can't take it out, so the fast will count. But this is done purposely, putting this medicine in here, so the fast will not count, qaza. If it's raining and snowing, you're out and about, if the rain goes in the mouth and swallow the droplet of rain or the snow, the fast will break. So you have to be very careful. Keep your mouth closed. It goes in the mouth, you spit out, that's fine. But if you know it's wind blowing and it goes and you can feel the rain droplet going down the throat, the fast is broken. It's water, simple as that. You should be careful. It's like a person making wudu and puts the water carelessly. He knows he's fasting carelessly, goes down the throat, fast is broken. And be careful. You don't gargle. In Hadith, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that when bath is compulsory, you gargle. And you put water quite above here in the, to make the first bath complete of the nose. إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ صَائِمًا Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, except if you are fasting. Meaning you don't go, no. Just like this. Just gently like this. When Maghrib time comes, iftar is done, you don't need to gargle now, it's done. You don't have to gargle. See, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that fasting time, you don't gargle, whether it's nafil fast or farz fast, no matter what it is, you don't gargle. Other days, you have to gargle. You got to make sure the water reaches all the entire mouth. Like this. If you don't, the bath will not count, the ghusl will not be valid, if ghusl is farz. Probably here and probably around here, nose. To make sure water gets everywhere around here. The soft bone here, around here. If this goes like that, the bath will not be accepted. The ghusl will not be valid, you can't pray salah. You can't enter the masjid, for example. But you don't gargle. Don't put water too much up the nose when you are fasting. So if it's raining or snowing, you keep your mouth shut, basically. Close. Sometimes a person has constipation. So he goes to the toilet and the piles come out. This is a very delicate masala. Not many people know this. When the piles come out, number two, part, you're washing yourself with water. You got to make sure it's dry before it goes back inside. If the piles come out, it's wet, you don't dry it, it goes back inside the stomach, the fast will break. Because when it's just wet and it goes in the stomach, you can feel the coolness in the stomach. You can feel the stomach, if you feel quite comfortable, nice and cool. The fast will break. So if the piles come out, you wash yourself, you make sure it's dry, it probably with tissue paper or some piece of cloth, rag, before he goes back inside, the fast will break. You got to make sure the children are fasting as well. From age of 7, they start fasting as many as they can, not all of them. Don't force them to fast for them. The fasting rule and the salah rule is the same, the Muhaddisin Fuqaha say. Age of 7, you make them fast as many as they can. We can keep one fast, miss another fast. There is no such a thing as half a fast. Please get this out. Because if you can't sing Ardha Roza, they will be thinking that there is something as Ardha Roza. And that's what they start doing. Half a fast. Not now, 10, 20, 30 years later, oh, that is Ardha Roza. And that's what start. Then you can't study people. There is no such a thing as half a fast. You tell children, whether it's full fast, you try your best, inshallah, I'll give you some reward. But there's no such thing as half roza. Now you might think this thing is not, it's very important point. Then I mentioned this to some colleagues of mine, they said, you're right. When it was summer days, some people, when the fast was 18 hours and 19 hours long, they said, well, we kept 10, 12 hours, it's fine. And they used to make iftar at the time of Asr, just before Asr, at the time of Asr. And said, it doesn't matter, it counts. Makkah Sharif is making iftar, we're making iftar. If you go to another country like India, and they 1 day, 2 days behind us, for example, then you have to make it according to their time, not ours. You go to India, yours is the 30th fast, for example. Theirs is the 28th. You can't make Eid. Moon date is minimum 29 days, maximum 30 days. You'll never hear moon date of 28 and 27, or moon date 31 and 32. No, it's either 29 or 30. It's an hadith. So you go to India, for example, you're just 30th fast. Theirs is 27 to 28. You can't say, well, I've done my 30. No, you have to fast with them. 31 or 32, then you make it with them. If somebody comes from abroad, 29th, announce that it's Eid. There's only 28th or 27th. They have to make Eid with us and make qaza of the one or two fast that they missed. And all these appointments that we have, why do they always come up in the month of Ramadan? Sometimes I ask the children who are mature, fasting. No. Why? Oh, I got a dental checkup. Astaghfirullah. Why are you not fasting? Oh, I got a feeling to do. Not small, even adults. Dental appointments are not important. Checkups and feelings, these should have been done before Ramadan. If you had to go for a holiday to Australia or Canada or America, I'm sure you wouldn't have booked an appointment on the days you're out of the country, or even it's the date of your flight. Flight is at 2 o'clock in the afternoon from Manchester and your appointment's at 1 o'clock. I'm sure you said, no, it's not possible. Why? I'm flying. I'll be at the airport at 11 o'clock in the morning. It's not, but can you change it? So dental appointments can be changed because of holidays or traveling. But when Ramadan comes, oh, I've got dental appointments, I can't fast. You send your timetable properly. You know when Ramadan starts, approximately you know. You know, again, you said not possible to keep them fast of Ramadan. Before Ramadan. Or after Ramadan. These checkers are not important. These feelings are not important. I'm sure you can take a bit of pain for the sake of deen. If you really have a nasty toothache, which is unbearable, that is something different. You book an appointment to have the tooth be taken out. Okay, that is fine. It is unbearable pain. And even then, if you can't get a booking after iftar, because iftar is going to be quite early nowadays. Say the dentist open until 6 o'clock or 6:30. Say, can I have the last one because I'm going to have to make iftar. So you can keep that fast. Hospital appointments. You know. By taking blood, giving blood, doesn't break the fast. As long as it's going through veins, it's allowed. But directly through the stomach and the vein, the fast will not be valid. Why am I camera put down my mouth? Is it really necessary? Sometimes the person says, yes. I've been waiting for this appointment for the last 2 years. If I cancel this one, the doctor said that I won't get another one for another 6 months, 1 year, and I'm in a lot of pain. That's fine. It's a simple checkup. You know, you can arrange a timetable. It's not possible. After Ramadan, before Ramadan. This is for deen. One fast you miss, just like that, the value is so great that you fast the whole year, it will not be equal to that one fast on Ramadan. A person can make qaza for 300 days, 400 days, but that one fast he miss, it cannot be equal to that. Why not fasting? I'm going to gym. Gym? Well, that's not important. I go to gym, 1 hour, 2 hours, I'll be thirsty. That's not the reason. Haram, you're getting big guna for this, big sin. Big sin. Why need to go to gym? Gym is not important. Many of us never go to gym. I've never been to a gym, never been to a gym in my life. Alhamdulillah. Because of his routine of gym, he's not fasting. He's taking a bottle of water and he's going. And remember that when you can't fast because of valid shari reason, You don't eat it and drink in front of other people. Not allowed. Say a lady is in a period. She can't fast. Doesn't mean that she has breakfast and lunch for the children as well. Once I said to some small children, fasting about 10, 11 years. No. You fasting? No. Why? You know what they said? They said, my mom is not fasting. I knew the reason why. So the children thinking that mom is not fasting, they don't know the reason because they're small, 10 years, they don't know about periods and things like that. I said, your mom is ill, that's why. Oh no, she's fine, Monica. She had breakfast with us. The mother should not eat in front of the children. If mom is not fasting, why should I fast? Oh, that's fast. That's fast and goes to work. She had breakfast with us and lunch with us. After the children have gone to school or they're sleeping, at that time the lady mother should eat. Not in front of the children. So the people are going for gym. In the gym I feel hungry and thirsty. Not fasting. I'm going swimming. It's another one. Mature, 18 years old, I met them. You're fasting? No, why? I'm going swimming. Some say, I'm fasting and I'm going swimming. Make, how is possible? You're swimming, the water will definitely go in your mouth and your nose. Take, I keep my head up like this. Make, you're cheating yourself. It's just not possible. This is what the ex have said to me. I make sure the water doesn't go like this. Make, it's not possible. 1 month Allah Ta'ala asking for us, 29 or 30 days. For deen. Value the month of Ramadan. Every second. Zakat. If you are mature, you have the value of Nisab, which is about the price of 52 and a half tolas of silver. So 612 grams of silver. At the moment, I asked somebody recently, and he said about it's the price of 1,000 pounds. You can check online or ask the jewelers. So the price of 52 and a half tolas of silver, which is about 1,000 pounds or more, you got, you have to give zakat. Some people just take the money or just give him 5 pounds, chanda, 10 pounds here, 2 pounds here. That's not zakat. You have to sit down with your books, calculators, and work everything out properly. You can't just go dar. No. If you just go dar, give him 2 pounds, give him 5 pounds, give him 10 pounds. Zakat, say for example, you have to give 200 pounds. You've only given 80 pounds, 90 pounds. You're missing out. You have to calculate zakat properly. Everything. And you can't give zakat whenever you want to. People think that zakat is compulsory in the month of Ramadan. No. People give in the month of Ramadan to get more reward. But zakat can become compulsory anytime. For example, I've got nothing today. And in the month of Muharram, the third, for example, I get 1,000 pounds or more. My zakat date will be Muharram the third every year now. If I've got nothing, or I've got less than Nisab, I've got 200 pounds, 300, 500 pounds, or the child is not balig yet, he's not mature, the girl is not mature yet. They got gold, the girl's got gold, given to her by her parents or relatives. She's got a bit of saving, mashallah. The boy's got a bit of saving, say 2,000-3,000 pounds. He's not mature yet, there's no zakat on small children. But for example, in the month of Rajab, the 15th, the girl becomes baligha. She has period starting. So her zakat calculation will be 15th of Rajab, not Ramadan. She didn't count zakat straight away. The following Rajab, 15 comes, she has to calculate zakat. She can give slowly and give in Ramadan as well. The boy is nabalig, he's immature. 3,000-4,000 pounds he got savings. And 18th of Shawwal, he has a wet dream. His calculation age will be 18th of Shawwal now.
So next year comes, after Ramadan, 18th Shawwal comes, he gets his bank books out, his savings out, Khadija works everything out. If somebody calculates Zakat in Ramadan, last year for example, then this year he should remember what date it was. Say for example, it was the 15th of Ramadan last year. This year, 15th of Ramadan. He'll calculate Zakat. If he can't remember, Mufti Rashid al-Lujjani Muhammad says he makes an educated guess. Okay, about maybe 13, 14. Fixed one, say 13th, and that will be his fixed date from now on. Some people say we forget. It's not possible. It is possible. You don't forget the MOT. You don't forget you wrote tax. You get reminders. I agree with that. But you can always have this on your mobile. Write down on your calendar. My Zakat calculation date is this. Islamic. Write in big letter. Say 15th of Shawwal is my date of calculation. You put 15th of Shawwal. You have to fix a date. Reason why? Say for example, somebody calculated Zakat last year on the 20th of Ramadan. This year he calculates on the 11th of Ramadan. On the 11th of Ramadan, he's got 10,000 pounds. So he's giving Zakat around 11,000 pounds. 20th of Ramadan comes, which is actual calculated, he's got 18,000 pounds. He's got income coming in. Rental property, for example. Or from his job. Or he's got his dividends from his share. That 7,000 pounds Zakat is not giving. We calculate on the 11th, not the 20th. So you have to fix the date of when you are calculating the Zakat. If it's in Ramadan or out of Ramadan, fix the date on that day. His date is 20th of Ramadan. He's calculating on the 11th. The giving of Zakat will be less sometimes. It could be more as well. So you have to fix the date. Also, people send money to India, Pakistan. What some people do, they give them the poor person through someone, buy him a rickshaw. Or make him a house. The poor person got the rickshaw. But they say that when you earn, you have to give this money back to this person. Say the rickshaw costs 100,000 rupees. Now the guy is working, and he's paying back the 100,000 to that person who gave him. And then with that 100,000 he's got, he's buying another person's rickshaw. Zakat has to be given in such a way that the person is own of it. He can't take it back. But I'm helping other people, doesn't matter. He given that seed now. If you ask him for it back, he's paying in installments, whatever it is. In 1,000 rupees a month, 2,000 rupees a month, whatever it may be, you can't take back. If you take that back, then that amount of zakat is not done. Zakat has been given, finished. Even though your intention is good, that I'm going to take that money of him, not that I want it, so I can buy another person a rickshaw. The zakat won't be counted. Full ownership. That's zakat money. No ownership, zakat will not count. You can't tell a person that with this zakat money, repair your roof. You can say, here's some money. I suggest that you got a roof leaking. If you want, you can repair it. It's better. You have to give him full freedom what he wants to do with that money. If you give him the money and say, make the roof, that's not acceptable. That's not ownership. Ownership means that he has the full choice of what he wants to do with that money. You can give him ideas. Roof is leaking. Repair is better. But it's up to you. Some people, they give money to these charities who make iftar dawats in India, Pakistan, or Malawi and other poor countries. Iftar package boxes is allowed with zakat money. They give oil, rice, sugar, tea in boxes, that's permissible. Best option is to give zakat in cash, so the person can use that money where he wants to. You buy him rice and this and that, oil, he's got enough of that in his house, he wants some medicine, he wants to have an operation then. But it's allowed. Money is a better option. Give the money, 50 pounds, 100 pounds, and he can do what he wants to do with it. But some people in charity, they buy these food packs, you know, Ramadan packs, and they provide the widow or the poor people, family, with rice and oil and tea and other things like that. It's acceptable, it's fine. But when he sends zakat money and they're giving iftari dawats for suhoor, pouring the rice for them and they all sitting down eating, that's not acceptable with zakat. Now this is where some of the scholars don't understand the difference. One is tamliq and one is ibahat. Tamliq means ownership. Ownership means that it's yours. It's not like I say, this is yours. This is called tamliq. This mobile, for example, money, this is yours. This is called, and if the person takes it, this is called tamliq, ownership. He can do what he wants to do with that. He can use it, give it to somebody else, gift it, sell it, it's up to him. That's ownership. That's what zakat is. Ownership with the money. Here's the money, here. Ownership. And one is ibahat. Ibahat means permissible. So when you're feeding, that's not ownership, that's using it. But when he's eaten, he leaves. Like, for example, after this talim and bayan, there's a dawat. Is that tamliq or ibahat? I'm asking you. Ibahat. Because you can't take a tin or tiffin and start filling up. They say, what are you doing? Okay, I'm taking home. No, you can't. It's ibahat. Nobody have the guts to do that. Because it's not tamliq, it's not ownership. So that's ibahat. So when you give the money for iftar dawats, it's not ownership. It's ibahat. And ibahat doesn't fulfill the condition of zakat. It's not ownership. It's like me saying, one to one person, this mobile is yours. That's tamliq. That's fine. Other than saying that, use it, call whoever you want to. Is that ownership? That's ibahat. He uses it, and after he's used, what will he do? He give back to me. When the food is being served at the dastakhan, he's eating the food, and then he'll leave. You can't say, I'm taking the leftover with me. He will not do that. So if you want to give iftar, you give with lillah money. If you know that they're going to feed in Uganda or Malawi or Bangladesh, whatever, they're outside in the village or outside the masjid, even in the masjid yard, the people will be sitting there, the poor people, and the rice and the roti and the meat and the curry will be, and the fruits will be given there, the dates, and they'll be eating there, and after that group of jinn will go and the next group will come. That's not zakat, that's ibahat. Your zakat will not be fulfilled. So this is very important as well. Full ownership, and only Muslims are allowed to take zakat. You can't give non-Muslim zakat money. You can give lillah or nafil sadaqah to non-Muslim, that is fine. But zakat is the rights of only the Muslims, not non-Muslims. That's another common mistake people make. And when zakat is compulsory on the children, you take zakat from them. Don't be bored over there and say, beta, taking the day this zakat. No. Take money of them. They get in the habit of giving zakat. It might be 10 pounds, 5 pounds. You take from them. Come. Give your zakat money. You say, girl, better your zakat money, this charity we want to give, how much is it? Take it, for example, it's only 2.5%, for example. They have to give only, say, £2.50. They've got whatever amount and they have to give. Then £2.50, give it to me. That only £2.50, but can't I give it? They go, no, you have to give it. Because if you get this habit of giving everything, when the children grow up, they will not give. And especially when the girls get married, the husband doesn't know about zakat, wife doesn't know about zakat, because dad has been doing all his zakat all his life, they will not give zakat. You ask your children, write your zakat date down and tell me how much you give zakat and tell me when you give it so I can write it down. Take it from them. You're not being cruel to them, you're being nice to them. So no one that you give zakat. And always give a bit of extra. Say you've got to give £315. Make it £350. Make it £400. Give that bit extra. Just in case you might have missed something out. Or maybe in the past you might not have given something out in zakat. It will fulfill it, inshallah. The Sahaba used to give zakat most of it in Ramadan. But you give most of it in Ramadan, but out of Ramadan as well give. Because there are people who are poor throughout the whole year. When you give in Ramadan, after Ramadan, the people are still poor. And one thing remember, madaris are important. You give them. Say the Quran Sharif, Fuqara al Muhajirin al Ukhrij min Diyarim. Say the Quran Sharif. The poor students learning Quran and Hadith, very important you give. Most of them come. But don't give all of it to them. Share it out. Habitul madrasas, darul ulums, darul yatamas. But there are also people who are poor in the subcontinent, in Africa. Nobody there. One of my colleagues only went last week on Thursday to Uganda. He said, I said, is Muslim country? He said, no. About 15%, 19% are Muslim. The rest is a Christian country. So we started a chai there, making a darum there and masjid there. And these food packs. £40 food packs, that's fine. I said, zakat you can give. Food packs. And then he said to me, the missionaries are working there, the Christian missionaries. And so many have left Islam because of food and medicine. They go there and they become Christians. The Alhamdulillah, you were saying that effort is there, they come back towards Islam. So if you give all to India, darul rooms where they have down like palaces and castles, all the comfort, then I'm sure you can give this zakat money to the third world countries, you know, in villages where the missionaries are working hard and making people leave Islam. I remember Mufti Ikram Sahib, Darul Barakatuh in Blackburn, Jam was the Imam, very pious scholar Mufti. Muttaqiyan, Parizgar, very pious. He knew his fiqh and hadith and Quran, just like that, mashallah. Very humble person. If you ever go to Blackburn, Jami Masjid is the Imam there. He said to me a story that in Malawi, one lady came at the time of Salat Zohar with a baby, newborn baby. I said, this baby, somebody adopted. I can't afford to feed this baby. Clothe the baby, I can't afford it. If nobody's willing to do this, I'll give it to a Krishna missionary. Now we know how much a mother loves the baby. A mother will not like to see the child missing even for a few minutes here and there. Where is my baby gone? She panic. If she's in a town center, shopping center, even in England. Say, travel center, for example. And the pushchair goes here and there. She scream and shout, run around. Hear the mother saying, somebody take this baby. I can't afford to look after this baby. Nobody said anything. See, if nobody willing to take the baby, I'm going to Krishna missionary to give it. Because mom can't see the baby die of thirst and hunger as well. So 1% of all. I go home and ask my wife the situation. If she says we can, then I'll take the baby and I'll adopt it. If not, then I'll say sorry. Come in Salatul Asr, I'll let you know then. Say, okay. She came back and said, the husband, the man went home. The wife said, I can't afford it. You know, you and I, we got everything, mashallah. The food, the water, the drinks, the clothes, the medicine, the NHS, everything here, luxuries. We're like kings here in this country. You go down there, people are leaving Iman. Not that they want to. One hand the Bible, one hand food. One hand the Bible, the other hand medicine. He said, to his wife, one baby, newborn, few days old. It's not possible. I can't. Take nobody's volunteering. She's coming in Asr. If nobody takes that baby, she's going to the Krishna missionary. That's when pleaded to the wife, please. Take, okay. Take the baby. She came back in namaz, I'll take the baby. That's even how difficult it was, even for this person taking it. Then Mufti Kahan Musa said, the family raised their baby like their own son, and sent, as the child was going, mashallah, they had a bit of money, they sent this adopted boy to bury Darul Uloom. If you can have the Quran here. And when he found out that my mother who adopted me is very ill, he quickly went back. So I don't want to miss the last few words with my the lady who adopted me and looked after me. And I completed the janazah namaz. He went back again. So this zakat, you don't give everything at once to one Darul Uloom, or all Darul Uloom. Yes? Even in your own villages, the poor people, give them. It's African countries are very important. You give them. Money goes everywhere. If money, zakat is not done here, at least it will be done here. You know this Darul has got is doing well, mashallah. They all come and say the same, oh, we got this much qaraz and we got so much money to give and this how much it costs to run the Darul. Yes, you give them. But think of other people who are there. In African places like we have nobody. In India, especially Gujarat, we always have somebody. In England, Canada, America, Zambia, South Africa, everywhere. The Gujarats are everywhere. The Gujarats spread all over the world. But people in other parts of the world, like Africa, it's like Uganda. Very few. Very few people. Now they need help as well. So send his zakat to this. So zakat must be given properly. You can't just give what you want to give. The jewelry the lady has, whether she wears the jewelry or doesn't wear the jewelry, she has to give zakat on that. You add everything together, make it in pounds. The gold, work out how much it works in pounds. The silver, how much comes in pounds. The shares, the selling price. You bought it for £5, they're worth £7, now it's £7 on zakat. You bought it for £5, now they're worth £3 per zakat. And everything together. In the pound. Foreign currency as well. You've been Umrah Hajj, you got riyals. Might be 5 riyals, you have to give zakat on that 5 riyals. It might be 60 pence, 70 pence, you have to give zakat on that. You went to Morocco, Turkey, got money from there, Liara, you have to give zakat on that as well. You went for a calendar, for a holiday, visit relatives, you come back, you got a few hundred Canadian dollars, you have to give zakat on that as well. Make them into foreign British pounds, add everything together, and then divide by 40. Divide by, that's the 200%. Say £1,000, divide by 40, comes to £25. Or, add everything together, and then times by 0.025. Times by 0.025, and that's the zakat you give. And always add a bit extra. Salat Tarawih now. Salat Tarawih is 20 rakats, mu'akkada, throughout the whole month of Ramadan. If the Quran says finish in 3 days, the rest of the 27 days or 26 days, you have to be Tarawih Sunnah, mu'akkada. You can't say finish the Quran Sharif. Finishing the Quran Sharif is one sunnat, and praying Tarawih throughout the whole month is another sunnat. It's 20 rakats. All for Imam. Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Maliki, Imam Ahmad. They all agree that Tarawih is 20 rakats, not 8 rakats. 8 rakats is tahajjud. Hadith is proven that Prophet performed 20 rakats of Tarawih. But he came out some days and prayed, and some days didn't come. The reason why he said that if I come every day, it will become farz on you. And some of you might not be able to do that farz. So I come out some days and miss some days, so it remains a sunnat. But sunnat is muakkada, a necessary sunnat. And during the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, when he walked in the masjid, he saw two people were in the masjid. One imam, one behind. One being by himself in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Two people playing there, one here, one here, one here. All scattered after each other. He said, I wish I could get them all together and make them pray behind one imam. That would look very nice. So the Sahaba was praying 20 rakat, but they were praying individually, or maybe one or two together. Like when you come to the masjid, praying sunnahs here and there, like that. So the sunnah was there during the time of Rasulullah SAW. But they say, some people say it's a bidat of Umar radiallahu anhu. No, it's not bidat of Umar radiallahu anhu. It's a sunnat. If you say this is bidat, 20 rakat, then Uthman radiallahu anhu, he started the azan, two azans. During the time of Rasulullah, only one azan. One azan, in front of the minbar. How many azan do we hear now? How many azan do we hear in Juma? Two. You can go to Saudi Arabia, Makkah, Al-Mukarram, Madinah, Munawwarah, how many azans? Nobody said this is a bit of Usman. They give in two azans. Even they are giving two azans. When it comes to Salada, or they bidat. Hazrat Umar knew more than anybody. That's why Rasulullah said, Lokana Bad Nabiya Lakana Umar. If after me a Prophet was here, it would be Umar. Because a Prophet would come because new rules and regulations. He didn't say that after my death, if there was a Prophet, there would have been Abu Bakr Siddiq. Because he knew through revelation he's not going to live long, and there will be no need to make new rules and regulations. By the time Umar, he's going to live 10 years, he have a long time, and rules and regulations need to be changed. So he said, Lokana Badi, Lokana Badi, Nabi, Lokana Umar. Prophet after me would have been Umar. So then Umar got the Sahabas together, and he used to lead the Isha Salah. And then Ubay bin Ka'b, the Qari of Rasulullah, he used to lead Tarawih and the Witr. Some say Umar used to read the Witr as well. And Tarawih was led by Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu anhu. And the whole masjid was full. Thousands of Sahabas there. Eh? Umar there, Uthman there, Ali there, Abdul Rahman all there, Salih al-Qas there, they're all there. Ashar al-Mubashir, most of them are alive. Talha, Zubair radiallahu anhu, all there. The Badriyin, Sahaba took him part in Badr, but they were there. But not one Sahabi objected that this is bidat. Not one objected. And when the Sahaba see anything against Sharia, they would stand up for it, speak the truth. Even if it was Umar, they speak. He comes in a riwayat that on Juma, Umar radiallahu anhu was on the minbar, giving khutbah. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, listen to me and obey me. Neither what he said. Listen to me and obey me. One Sahabi got up and took his sword out and said, we shall not listen to you and not obey you. Why? Umar then asked. He gave everyone one piece of cloth after a battle, the spoils of war. You all got one. He got two on your body. You taken double. Answer to this. Otherwise, this sword is here. He was a khalifa, but a simple sahabi got up with his sword and questioned Umar radiallahu anhu. If 20 years was bidat, you have said all the sahabas are like, hey, no, not allowed. It's bidat. Prophet never did this. But not one sahabi broke it. You got two pieces of cloth, one for the top, one for the bottom, lower garment. Why? We all got one. Answer. But the sword will decide. I got one as well. My son Abdullah got one. I had only one. That was in the wash. So I borrowed my son's. That's why I got two. It's not mine. I borrowed my son. And he's here. Ask him. Abdullah is here. Put the sword back in the sheath. Carry on with the khutbah. We shall listen to you and we shall obey you. So if 20 rakats was bidat, the Sahabas were there. The Ashara Mubashara there. Yeah. The Khulafa Rashid, Uthman Ali were there. The Badriyin were there. Better is one Sahaba who sat underneath the tree. Laqad radiyallahu anil mu'minin riwayunaka tahta shajara. They were there. Great Sahabas were there. Azan Muttahar, Aisha Siddiqa and Adana was also there. But they all agreed and prayed namaz. 20 rakats behind Umay ibn Ka'b radiyallahu anhu. How can it be that? So you're trying to say that you understand the Quran and Hadith more than the Sahaba, the Khulafa Rashidin? You understand this 20 rakat tarawih more than Umar and Uthman and Ali? In fact, it comes that Ali radiallahu anhu, when he became the Khalifa, or when he looked around the Prophet's Masjid, after Umar Ramadan passed away, he looked at the time of Ramadan and people were in Taraweeh, 20 rakat behind the Imam. He said, Allah, fill the grave of Umar with noor and light, the same way he has filled the masajid with people coming for namaz, Salat Taraweeh. He gave this dua. That's facing the whole world now. Full of people coming in Taraweeh. He prayed 20 rakats, not 8 rakats. He just had to give the sakir as a way of sleep and perform. Allah Ta'ala accept our Ramadan, make it easy first in fasting and giving us zakat correctly and performing Salat Taraweeh and violating the true month of Ramadan. آمين اللهم آمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله بالعالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. I'll take the question answer.
Those who have any questions, please ask Mufti Sahib. جزاكم الله.
Anything regarding Ramadan, especially zakat, roza, fasting?
I just wanted to ask you about this extra fasting. If you're going abroad, you said it could be more than 30 rozas. Would that be classed as nafal or part of Ramadan rozas?
Most likely, if he's done with 31, 31, we call it nafil, yeah. Because Ramadan fast 30 is finished. But because he has to make Eid collectively, because the individual is making their own Eid, so they count as nafil, yeah. But he has to fast.
Any other questions?
If he's done 28, then obviously they count as first fast.
Mufti Sabai, I have one question for us. Yes. Nicotine patches. Are they allowed whilst you're fasting?
Yeah. Nicotine patches go down arm, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, the fast doesn't break. Fast doesn't break. Diary, like mentioned, in the stomach, or mentioned in the head. Then, if you take glucose in the veins or like that, it's fine. Fast doesn't break.
What about eye drops?
Eye drops, good question, mashallah. ENT, ear, nose, and throat. Right? They're all connected. Okay? Ear, nose, and throat. These are. Sorry, not eyes. Ear, nose, and throat, not the eyes. So it shows that the connection is only with the ear, nose, and throat, not with the eyes. That's why in the old fiqh, the fuqa say the medicine in the eyes doesn't break the fast. Even if you can feel the medicine in the throat, it doesn't break the fast. It goes through pores, not through veins. So the fast doesn't break. But medicine in the ears, measure the nose, or measure mouth, throat, it will break the fast. That's why this science as well, ear, nose, and throat, you don't mention eyes. But that's the old rule of thought. Eyes, medicine doesn't break the fast. Ear, nose, throat will break the fast. But nowadays, the modern scholars, some of them say, science says that medicine eyes, it goes right to the stomach. So they say it breaks the fast. Medicine ears doesn't break the fast, they say. They go the other way. But I'm always going to fatwa that eye medicine is fine. If you can avoid it, just to save yourself from doubt, best. If you can't, if you do need it, it's permissible. Eyes doesn't make the medicine, eyes doesn't make that. But ears, nose, and throat, the connection. But some ulama do say that medicine, eyes doesn't make the fast. But
somebody's just asked me another question, move this up. Do you pay zakat on student loan?
Yeah. If you got student loan, then you minus it. Say, for example, I got £10,000. Is that the student that you got?
Yes.
Yeah. It's colors. Say, if you borrow £10,000, I don't have to give, but say, excuse me, it's £10,000 you borrowed from the government, they give you £10,000. You look at what you got. Say, you got £15,000. Then if you minus that £15,000, from the £10,000, you minus from the £15,000, you minus £10,000. So you give zakat only £5,000. It's like a debt. If I borrow, say, £10,000 of somebody, I got £15,000, I can minus it, I only give zakat on £5,000. It's a debt. You don't have to give zakat on that. Say if I got £10,000, nothing else besides that £10,000, there's no zakat on that. Because I have to give that back, there's no zakat. But you shouldn't take student loan down because at the end of the time, you have to give interest back. You save up, you work part-time, work your summer holidays, borrow off your parents, somebody, and pay off your uni fees through that. Interest is haram. Interest is a very, very major sin. Very major sin. You have to avoid it. It's not permissible at any cost. Yeah. You want to go for further study, you save up, you borrow, you do part-time work. Otherwise, look for a job. Education degree is not compulsory. You only go for that if you can afford it without having to borrow money, student loans.
Nine times out of ten, they won't be liable for any zakah if it's the total amount rather than the amount you have to pay back in the same year, calendar year.
Yeah, that's the correct answer. Say, for example, somebody's got a mortgage, a loan, say £100,000, and he has to he's borrowed £100,000 to buy a house, and he's going to pay £150,000 back to the bank. My zakah date, for example, is the first of Ramadan, calculation date. I bought £100,000 to buy the house or a business, whatever it is, or a car, and on top of that, they're going to charge me £50,000 interest money, for example. So when my account is on 1st of Ramadan, I see how much I've got. See if I got £10,000 in my account. So I see from this 1st of Ramadan till next Ramadan how much I have to give back. I don't count the whole £100,000 or £150,000 as a loan, debt. You can't. Otherwise, you'll never pay zakat. You'll never go for hajj. You'll never do qurban because you're in debt. In fact, you'll be allowed to take zakat money. I'm in debt, £150,000. I've got £10,000 back. £150,000 I'll get back to the bank. So you'll be taking zakat money, people. So the fuqaha have said that you got, for example, £10,000. This Ramadan, first you calculate the date. You see until next first of Ramadan, how much you're going to give back. So you're going to give £10,000 back. So from that £10,000, which you've got to give back, you can minus from the £10,000. So you'll be only giving zakat on how much? £9,000. Have you understood? You understood? £10,000 I got, but I'm going to give £1,000 loan which I borrowed from the bank, Halifax, for example. So that I can minus only £1,000, not the £100,000. So I minus £1,000, we may be £9,000 now I've got. So £9,000 more than the nisab £1,000, so I give zakat £9,000. You're right. But further to that, once you pay the £100,000 back to the bank, you got £50,000, which interest. Now they might say, well, you're paying the interest at the moment, and the original capital which you bought will be right at the end. But we say no. They can say what they want to say. When you get that every month, £250, £100,000, £100, what you get, that's the original you're paying back. They might say, oh, interest paid off, original not paid off. That's what they'll say. But Shaded said, no, you're paying actual off, original money off. Once you pay the £100,000 off, they must say you just pay £50,000 original, £50,000 interest, £25,000 interest, whatever they say. Once you pay the £100,000 off, that's your capital original money you've paid off. Now you got the £50,000 interest you've got to give. Today is my zakat day, first of Ramadan. I got £10,000 in bank. In the next month, 12 months, I'm going to pay, say, £1,000 interest money. I can't minus that from my original money. Because to give interest and take it is haram. So there's no giving or no taking allowed. So when you pay the original off, which you have, as a debt, you have to give that. You can't just take it, oh, I'm not giving. You have to give that back, even if it's a non-Muslim person or a bank. But you pay that back off, you got the £50,000 interest money you have to give back, even though the bank is saying it's original money you're giving back. Say in the next 12 months, I'm going to give £1,000 back. I can't minus from the £100,000, that interest money. I have to give zakat on the full £10,000. If I give that interest money, that's up to you. But you can't minus it. Is that answer you can, what you say is right?
Yeah,
yeah, clarify.
The clarification.
Yeah, that's right.
Student loans.
Yeah,
as well.
Same thing. Yeah, same principle.
Another question from the Majma. What age do you give zakat from?
Like I mentioned, the girls when they become have the periods, hairs. If they don't start periods, then it's 14 years, 6 months, and 10 days. If you don't know Islamic date of birth, you should always write the Islamic date down when the child is born. Child is born on, say, 15 Ramadan, you put down 15 Ramadan, 14, 47, write this date down. So if there's no signs of puberty in the child, then if you know the Islamic date, you work out 15 years. If the child is born on the 1st of Ramadan, say, at 8 o'clock in the morning, then 1st of Ramadan, and 8 o'clock in the morning, that's the date of birth, 15 years, the child is 15 years now. So the girl has a period. No periods, then Islamic date of birth, 15 years. Boy, same. No sign of puberty, wet dream, no, it's not there. Then you look at the Islamic date of birth. First of Ramadan, 8 o'clock in the morning, 15 years at that time. 8 o'clock on the first of Ramadan. If the boy has a wet dream, then that obviously is a sign of puberty. earliest a girl can become mature is the age of 9. And some girls do have periods at the age of 9 and 10. When the girls, some of them go to primary school. Because I teach in the house, my wife teaches the girls. My wife tells me that this girl has started, because she's only in primary school. Yeah, she's in primary school, but she started the period. She's 10, about to 10, 11. So it's possible. Earliest a girl becomes mature is the age of 9. Before 9, then you say it's not period, it's no normal bleeding. It's tihaza or waist bleeding. So no rules apply. But 9 and onwards, 10, they can have the period. Boy again, 9, can have a dream. But maximum you can go up to is 15 years. Some scholars say there's no sign of puberty at the age of 13 and 14, but their pubic hair, armpit hair is showing, is can be seen. That's also a sign of puberty. It comes in one battle, Prophet said to the Sahaba, check if he's got any hair, because, you know, and pubic hair, and they checked, put the trousers down, check puberty, then rules were applied as mature. So hair around the pubic region, armpit, that's also a sign of puberty. But if none of these signs are there, then 15 years according to Islamic calendar, or 14 years, 6 months and 10 days. Because Islamic calendar is a bit different, you know, we have always 10 days, we're going less. So if the English guy is 363 days, it's about Islamic 355 days, 57 days like this. So 14 years, 6 months and 10 days according to calendar, it's mature now.
Any other questions?
If that child has no income, savings above
Nisab. Yeah, 1,000 Nisab.
They have to pay the zakat.
They have to give the zakat. That obviously that can help. You know, if you want to give your son's daughter's zakat money, you can give. You just take the permission. You have to take permission. That I'm giving you zakat. If they don't give permission, then you can't give zakat.
No, but if they have money,
yeah,
they have to give the zakat.
Yeah, they have to give zakat.
Yeah.
If they want, if you want to help them, you can give on their behalf as well. That's fine. But they have to give zakat, yeah. Namaz, Rosa, Zakat, Hajj, everything will apply now on them. Like an adult, basically.
I've got two. One is about pensions. How does Zakat work on pensions?
Yeah.
And secondly, if somebody has dentures and the glue, the sticking glue to, you know, to stick the dentures, does that break fast?
First, regarding the pensions. This two of Mufti Rashid al-Ludhiyan say that there are two types of pensions. One is optional, one is not optional. Sometimes the company say that you have to give a certain amount in pension. Then because they are taking of you and it's not voluntary, then there's no zakat on that until you don't get the actual pension money. But if it's voluntary, it's like saving. So I'm putting some money on the side, I'm not going to touch it. Say you, the company is taking £25 of you and you're topping up with another £10. Then the £10 you are giving, you have to give zakat on that.
Not
the company. No, because that's been a compass. No, you don't give that. But the voluntary one, you have to give zakat on that. As for the denture that you to stick the teeth on, then if it goes on the throat, the fast will break. If it doesn't, then no. It's like putting lip seal or vaseline on the lips. It's allowed. But if it goes down the throat, the fast will break. Some people brush teeth, not allowed to brush teeth during fasting hours. It's makruh. And if it goes down the throat, the fast will break. In the same way, you get these miswaks. Yeah? Now the miswak ruling is that normal miswak is fine. Even if you can feel the bitterness or the taste of the miswak, it doesn't matter. It's natural. It's sooner to use the miswak all time. But if you get this nowadays miswak with orange flavor and lemon flavor, apple flavor, and that taste, so the fast will break. So you don't use those miswak, use the normal, natural miswak, then it's fine. Even when fasting, then some of these small pieces of miswak go down the throat because it's not avoidable. It's very difficult. And if the person uses miswak, then the fukazi won't break the fast. If you can take it out, try your best. But if you can't, it doesn't break the fast.
Another question, Mufti Sahib. So, for example, somebody lent £2,000 to a friend. This friend is struggling to pay the £2,000 off. Do you have to pay zakat on the £2,000?
Yeah. If you give money to borrow to a friend, okay, or even a masjid, you have to give zakat on that. But sometimes it happens that the person is not giving the money back. If he's giving you installments, you have to give zakat as he's giving you. For example, he's giving £2,000 to borrow, and he's giving you £1,000 back after 5 years. Then the last 5 years, £1,000 zakat you give. whatever it is, you give that last 5 years zakat. If you give the second £2,000 after another 5 years, then last 10 years zakat you have to give on the other £1,000 that you let him borrow. You got an option that you can give zakat, even though he's not giving money, you can give zakat. But what will happen sometimes that you're giving zakat and he's not paying you back, so you're losing there and you're giving zakat as well. So best option is just to keep hold of the zakat, don't give it. When you get it back as a lump sum, or when you get it in installments as well, you start giving it. And for the years that you're not given, say after 2 years you give that £2,000 back, the last 2 years zakat give. You don't have to give straight away then and there. Because sometimes people give, I know, say they have been giving zakat on that for the last 10, 15 years. And I've given £20,000 to borrow. He's not giving that back, I'm giving zakat. So you don't need to give it. Once he gives it back, you have to work all the way back and give all the zakat. So in that way, you're safe from giving extra money and you don't have to give that at the moment.
Any other questions?
Let's say your zakat calculation day is 20th of Ramadan. What's the time limit to pay your zakat? Because some people distribute it over a number of days, but could you,
One year. Fuqaha say 1 year. You don't need to give it straight at once in a month of Ramadan. You don't need to give it on the same day because it's very difficult. I know some people have to give millions of pounds in zakat. It's very difficult to get it. So Fuqaha say within 1 year, before that next Ramadan comes, the calculation date, you have to get rid of it. You say give it out. If it comes and you still not paid all of it, you still have to give it, but you're sinful. So you have one full 12 months to give it. And best is to give zakat with your own hands. If you know you're traveling to Africa, or you're going to India, or in this, you know, then it's best to give with your own hands. Because you know, at least it's given. Because sometimes people, they take it and it's not given. Some of these collect people come to collect here, you ask them, like, yeah, we got saving last year, zakat still left over and we have not given all of it. Then the zakat is still there. Zakat doesn't count when you give to the collector here, it's not done. It's only done when it's being given to the actual poor like this. Then it counts. That's my me collecting your £100, £200. You can't say my zakat take it, it's not done yet. If you say, if I somebody collecting my zakat, £100, right? And he's not given it yet, he's still in England collecting, or he's in India, he's not giving it out, and I'm dead. He can't give that zakat money now because he's a wakil. And when the wakil dies, the person making him wakil, he dies, he has to return that money back. And you won't know that. That's why the Muslim zakat should give it quickly. Just in case the person dies, something happens. So if I'm dead, Mu'asa knows about it, he has to return that to my inheritors. Because part of the inheritance now. So zakat should be distributed quickly. But you have 12 months, 1 whole year to give the zakat money. And best to give it to your own hand so you know that Alhamdulillah is given. Or give it to somebody whom you can really trust. You need to trust.
You mentioned about Tamliq and Ibar.
Yeah.
When they come for Madaris, they're not making the child Tamliq of the wealth, is it?
Most of them do, no.
So then what?
The zakat doesn't count. It doesn't count. They do hila, they give the child and they tell the child to give it back again. This is not permissible. The zakat doesn't count. You're right. You probably heard it from somebody. The zakat won't count. The child knows all arranged beforehand. Look, I'm going to give you 5,000 rupees. You go and you know, give it to the office. If they say, take this money and you have to give your fee, you know, say 5,000 fee every 3 months you have to give. So they give it like that. And that's fine because they've taken it and now they're paying the fee off. That is fine. But if it's pre-arranged that I'm giving the zakat money, then you give it back to me, you know, and the zakat is done, this makul tahrim in your haram. Mu'ashir Thani will say the zakat will not be valid, it won't count. And in those madrasa that they do, Brother Yusuf, they give to students, so the students are taken and they say, I'm not giving you back. They give 1 lakh rupees, say that give back, they go, no. Zakat, I've taken it. And you can't take it back because it's theirs now. But it's called hila, or a loophole or a way out. It's not permission. Then what they do when they take that money back, they make big palaces and, you know, big dollars and fountains and greenery and everything. The zakat, the poor are dying there. If every Muslim was to give zakat properly and the Muslim was taking it properly, then there were no Muslim poor in the world. But unfortunately, people are not giving properly, and when it's being given, it's not being given properly. People are rich, they're taking it. You know, people are using that, taking the zakat money and making buildings out of it, you know, and masjid and madrasas out of it. It's not allowed. Sheikh Thani says it's not allowed. That's why I said you should give zakah with your own money. If you know you're going to travel abroad, you know, maybe give. I'm not saying don't give out all, give them as well. Say you got £500, give £50, £100, but the amount £400 you keep and give with your own hands. That's the best option.
We'll take last question, inshallah. We've just been.
That's fine. But if they give, if they give to a child. Sorry?
How do you make sure that that money is only spent?
Yeah, you have to tell the person, the collector, that look, I'm giving for Abdullah, make sure that you don't collect any more Abdullah. Because once a person has nisab, you can't give him more zakat again. Say, you send to your uncle, who's poor in India or Pakistan, wherever. Say, nisab is £1,000, for example. Right? You give £1,000, you should always give less, £500 less, £1,000, up to there. Now he can't take another zakat. Because he's got nisab. Now if the person gives now again, he's already got nisab, the zakat won't count. So you got to make sure that you tell the collector, look, this child, nobody else will take. But it's, at the most, £1,000. So, and I think for 1 year's tithe is about £150. So it should be okay, you know. A few people give one child, it should be okay. But you have to be very careful.
I've just been messaged from upstairs that wrap it up. So whoever has any questions, please go to Mufti Sahib and ask your questions individually.
Yeah, that's right.
And Mufti Sahib, can we make the...
Yeah, it's okay. Okay, very short, simple, inshallah, because we are running out of time. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة عين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما رب ارحمهما كما ربيان صغيرا رب اغفر لي ولاخي وادخلنا في رحمتك وانت ارحم الراحمين ربنا ات مننا نورنا واغفر لنا انك على كل شيء قدير ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم ان عذابها كان غراما انها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة عين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما ربنا اغفر علينا شربا وثبت اقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا انت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين فاطر السماوات والارض انت ولي في الدنيا والاخره توفني مسلما وتوفني بالصالحين يا الله فقيم سينز يا الله اكسب التعليم والتعلم يا الله give us the full guidance of iman and islam يا الله قبل من دور رمضان بلس بيد من دور رمضان اكسب الفاست الزكاة صلاة التراويح صلاة القرآن صدقة خيرات يا الله قبل نلايت أو ليت القدر يا الله قبل الدين الإيمان يا الله قبل الهداية الله ميك أشلا نصل أكون نصب رعيز يا رب الله يدوس شلا ونكيم فرا marriage partner يا الله give them a marriage partner يا الله create love and unity in our home. يا الله create love and unity between the parents and the children, the husband and the wife. يا الله remove our death from us. يا الله give risk and barakah in our iman and islam and sihat and afiyat. الله تعالى accept all the دعاء. آمين اللهم آمين. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون. والسلام على المرسلين.
إن شاء الله food will be served upstairs. All the brothers are requested to go upstairs. جزاكم الله.